This emergency pod was not recorded in an Uber vehicle, despite being mistaken for one halfway through the recording of this episode. No one was physically harmed in this episode, although a stranger's pants were likely soiled by themselves during the episode. This is Jurassic Views.
Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Look at this play on Giannis. I don't do trading or money or fashion. I do arts. So make my arts. That's it.
What's up, everybody? Jurassic Views, Zaya Quinn, a Bryce Diamond post game versus the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, I'm here in Ottawa too. I'm in the Capitol post convoy. Where y'all at now? Where y'all at? Damn, I'm bringing that post convoy energy, man. Two game winning streak. Let's go. If I ever see one of y'all truckers out here, damn. I ain't playing, man. I ain't playing. I'm game seven playoff series mindset right now. Let's go.
Post game versus the back-to-back. Played Phoenix, then Denver. These are two very good teams. Denver had won 10 in the last 12. Phoenix had won, are the best team in the league, just had beaten the Miami Heat about three nights ago, 111-90, and then they faced the Toronto Raptors. And I don't know who this team is in the last two games, Zaya, but this is not the same team that played against Dwayne Casey's curse. This is not the same team that played against the Disney Magic. We back on the road, West Coast bonding trip for the boys. Chemistry is flowing. Gary Trent Jr. was flowing in Phoenix. Let's start in Phoenix. Playing against a team, and don't give me excuses, Phoenix Suns fans. This is a team that did not have Chris Paul. Oh, forgot, we didn't have OG Anunoby. They didn't have Cam Johnson. My bad, we didn't have Malachi Flynn. I don't care what excuses you had, Scottsdale, while you're on the links, but we were playing basketball in Phoenix against your Suns, the Western Conference champions, apparently. Zai, what were your thoughts in that first game of this back-to-back in Phoenix?
I'm really proud of this squad because it seems like they like to show up when the stakes are high, the lights are on, and the challenge really is at an all-time level where they can really learn from and grow. And they showed up, Bryce. I mean, on the road against the best team in the league, right? This is the best team in the league, mounting up their record of wins without the point guard. So it's a legitimate claim to say that they're the best basketball team in the league. And so the way we played against this team, it was quite impressive because Fred VanVleet was back from missing a series of games and getting rest. Yet he wasn't the one that actually was leading the team offensively. I think his presence was still known, particularly defensively, especially in terms of actions being run in the fourth. But it was really guys who stepped it up, who the usual suspects, Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes. But Gary Trent, Bryce, gave us a 40-piece, man. If there's anything that this guy can do that we don't know of, I'm willing to see it, man. I don't know. Can this brother become governor of Minnesota? I don't know. Can this, and the way this guy has his confidence is incredible, unmatched, Bryce. And he's doing this against probably, let's say, one of the best, you know, two guards, two-way two guards in the league, right?
Yeah,
Who's consistent this season. James Harden, put aside, you've been trumped by Devin Booker. So, but most of all, Bryce, in terms beyond just an individual basis, it was an all-team effort executing both on offense as well as on defense. And Nick Nurse, credit to him, outmatching Monty Williams, who threw some wrenches in that second half. But in short, that was an impressive win that I think, similar to that, you called it in January when we went against Miami on the road, and he said it was a pivotal switch that led to the winning streak, but also to set the tone for the rest of the season, or to finish the first half of the season. I think this win against the Phoenix Suns has that same kind of impact or symbolic impact to the latter half of the season and really, right, augmenting the narrative of this squad and what its potential is.
I mean, no one's expected us at the beginning of the season. Certainly people who are south of the border in the States aren't, no one predicted that we'd be over 500. You know, the best I saw from any media talking about the Toronto Raptors projecting at the beginning of the season where we would be record-wise, the best I saw was 41-41. Here we are playing in Phoenix, best team in the league. Now, I don't think a lot of people had Phoenix being this good. However, they have been this good, and we go in and get our 36th win of the season, and we are beginning again, as we've talked about, in terms of how this team is constructed. We talked about Masai and Nick shaming Adam Silver in the league in terms of how this team was constructed, and we're beginning to shame teams. We're not even supposed to be in the playoffs, and we're getting our 36th win of the season on the road in Phoenix, and you've got guys who are playing way above expectations again. Obviously, as a team we are, but individuals. Scotty Barnes has another rock-solid game. It wasn't his best. This was not a game like he did in Washington, in February. This is not his game against the Charlotte Hornets. This is just a rock-solid performance on both ends of the floor, and he is showing us that he is the Florida Freak.
And in the fourth quarter, we made two stops that was initiated by steals done by Scotty Barnes. We were trapping Devin Booker twice on the rotation pass. Scotty Barnes was able to steal both passes, Bryce, and re-executing on the other end of the court with two buckets that solidified the game. But we won that fourth quarter because of our defense, and we have to attribute that to these young guys who are still learning Nick Nurse's schemes, defensive schemes. There's Scotty Barnes, Precious Achiuwa, Cam Birch, who actually got the nod to finish in that fourth. So we win this game not just because of the points that we put up, 40 points in the third, by the way, but really based on that defensive effort and execution. I also want to point this out, and I think folks would want to rave about it in terms of, maybe defensively we weren't all that because we gave someone like Cameron Payne, who finished with plus 15, 24.7 assists, or actually 4 assists and 7 rebounds. Yes, we wanted Campaign to score, right? That's, you know, back in the day, San Antonio in the 2000s in the playoffs, they wanted Steve Nash to score more than he would play make because it would bring fatigue to him. He's actually much more of a better playmaker than he is a scorer in terms of the impact on the squad. In this case, without Chris Paul, we know what Campaign is. Campaign is a third-string point guard, a really, really talented third-string point guard. Nevertheless, that's the point. We want the ball to be in his hands rather than in Devin Booker's hands, rather than in Ayton's hands. So Cameron Payne, take as many shots as you can, but when it came down in the fourth, you showed your true colors. Right.
Now, this game had a lot of similar feelings. Even similar point differentials to the game we played the Suns in Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had an early lead, double digits, and then slowly they walked us back, right? And then in the fourth, you knew that it was going to come down to the final 2 minutes, and they had a guy named Chris Paul who could finish the game. Now, the Phoenix Suns, in the fourth quarter, we're down 14 to start the quarter. They rally all the way back. Our bench did not play well to start the third quarter, those first 3 minutes. But then they even took the lead in the fourth quarter, but they were not able to finish. And I think you're right. Campaign is not Chris Paul. He's not a point guard, let alone a quality starting point guard. Mm-hmm. Solid backup. Mm-hmm. Better than Ish Smith type of a backup. Certainly better than a Malachi Flynn that we have. But he's not Chris Paul. He's not, you know, he's not, you know, other great veteran point guards in the league. Certainly better than Goran Dragic, but not better than Kyle Lowry. So when the chips were down and big decisions had to be made, we were confident, didn't say it was going to be automatic, as Nick Nurse said in his post game, but we felt confident that we would have it, and that's a big difference because Freddie was in and Chris Paul wasn't.
And I'll make two statistical analyses that are important on the road, especially against top teams in the league. Turnovers. We had 15 turnovers. The Phoenix Suns had 16 turnovers. We shot 19 for 21 from the free throw line for 90%. They shot 13 to 17. Given also our aggressiveness on the offensive boards, that led to these advantages. You have to win these advantages, these variables. Those are important if you're going to compete at the high level on a consistent basis in the NBA, especially on the road for a team that's learning. That these are not just victories, but you've won even little victories in terms of the growth of the team. Now, Bryce, if you told me we would win in Phoenix and exhaust ourselves, that would be fine, right? Mm-hmm. Because we knew that we were in the Mile High City the next night against, I think their sixth seed, Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Led by, I think, an MVP candidate again in Jokic, Nikola Jokic. The Joker. But what if I told you we could compete with the Denver Nuggets without Fred VanVleet?
No, right? Fred VanVleet. We're starting Armani Brooks. Yep. Not Aaron Brooks, who I made the mistake of calling him Aaron Brooks, the old Houston Rockets point guard. Although Armani did play for Houston, he was a G League guy, and here he is now playing for the Raptors. I believe on his second 10-day contract, he started. Yeah. No Malachi, no Freddie. We started Armani Brooks. And what would I say? If I had to put money down, I'd probably put $10 on the Nuggets. to win this game, because it did not look like this one was going to be a game we could get. We came out strong. It wasn't Gary Trent Jr. It was Pascal Siakam. Very good start for Pascal. Ooh. A good start for Scotty Barnes. And we had ourselves a lead after one quarter and then a lead at the half. What were your thoughts knowing we had a four-point lead at halftime?
I tempered my expectations. I said, hey, give as much as you can and keep the game close. Compete as best as you reasonably can compete in the second half, right? And if in the second half you run out of gas, I get it, you know? Prepare yourself for the two LA games. But that's not what occurred. We continued fighting and we continued to grind. And I didn't expect particular performances by two guys. And I think notably we need to talk about, you were raving about Chris Boucher, which I mean, if there's, I don't know what's motivating him these days. I don't know if it's Will Liu, the fact that he has a new podcast. I don't know if he's on that Fred VanVleet prospective parenthood track. You know, I don't know what it is, Bryce.
Is it the Slim Jim endorsements that he's giving?
The
Slim
Jim. I mean, the Canadian endorsements are just raining at this point for our boy from Montreal. But really proud of him, right? Because my concern was, how is he matching up against Jokic, against Denver Nuggets lineup? And I think Nick Nurse did the smart thing. Rather than starting Cam Birch or Boucher, he starts Precious. Knowing Precious, as best, what he can do is he can bang, he can run. But one thing that he can also do, that's also, he can make Jokic work on the defensive end, right? Because he's active defensively, he spreads the court. And with Chris Boucher being more comfortable coming in the second unit, he can stretch the floor and he can benefit from the kind of secondary scoring options facilitated by Pascal, Trent Jr., or Scotty Brooks. And that's what happened, right? With Boucher, he finished the game, Bryce, with 21 points, 13 rebounds, 8 for 15 from the field, and then Precious Achiuwa, who started, finishes with 5 for 10 from the field for 15 points, 4 for 6 from 3-point line. My gosh, this guy's playing out of his mind. And 4 rebounds. I mean, these guys are providing you with this, that kind of, you know, the center by committee performance that we had doubts last year, right, in Tampa. And this year, I think, you know what, the front office and the coaching staff said, we're going to give it another try, but what we're going to do now is use guys who are 6'9", athletic, who can bang, hit the offensive boards, Bryce, spread the floor, and we can see where their development as players go. And I have to give credit where credit's due, because we've been harsh on those two guys. And so with all due respect, I think we need to, you know, give them the necessary flowers and go from there.
Chris Boucher, 21 points, 13 rebounds. I'm always impressed when he can put up 20 and 10. But the thing I keep pointing out with Chris Boucher, he would have these Keon Clark type mental blocks in years gone by.
Yep.
And here he is, zero turnovers in a big game against a team who has played very well, a team that has had our number, as you mentioned off air, in the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, obviously, is a mastermind, a masterclass in just outthinking. He's five steps, four moves on the chessboard ahead of his opponents all the time. And Mike Malone can be like that as well. But Nick Nurse and his staff were up for the challenge. Scotty Barnes, another big night. Pascal Siakam was all NBA again. And then you've got Chris Boucher coming off the bench, 21-13 and zero turnovers. And you think this is going to be tough as we hear the plow go by here on the streets of Ottawa after a snowstorm. We the North has got to be the chant. It's being heard. It's echoing. It's haunting the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets right now. It's not Suns in four. It's we the North after these two big road games back to back. Now, just before we kind of look big picture at this team and where we're at on this road trip and then what happens after the road trip, I just want to take a step back for just a sec.
Sure.
With this last three wins that we've had. In the last three wins, we beat the San Antonio Spurs. Not a great team, although they won the night after they played us. But they have a coach named Greg Popovich, legend. He's going to be a Hall of Famer as a coach. Obviously, he coaches Team USA. This is a big timer. This is a legend. Then the next night, we face Monte Williams. I would argue, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, I would argue that he's Coach of the Year this year. I think he should have been Coach of the Year last year, and maybe there's a discussion around who should be Coach of the Year. In my opinion, it's Monte Williams this year. Tibbs shouldn't have got it last year. That's just my opinion. Maybe that's a hot take. Lastly, you got Mike Malone. Now, I think Mike Malone, in the bubble year, could have been seen as Coach of the Year. I thought he was great. Obviously, Nick Nurse and the Raptors played way above expectations, had the second best record in the NBA. When you see the Raptors play at the level they are with this projected developmental season, and Nick Nurse is out coaching Greg Popovich, yep, Monte Williams, yep, Mike Malone, can we stop as Toronto Raptors fans talking about Nick Nurse not being a great coach? The guy won a chip in 2019. If you forgot, the guy won a Coach of the Year award in 2020.
If you forgot.
So first of all, talk to me about who you think your Coach of the Year is this year in the NBA, and then what Nick Nurse is doing, and is he putting himself in the top five for NBA coaches currently?
Well, there's a few things that Nick Nurse is kind of strapped and limited with, right? He's limited with his roster, and he's limited with the reality of his roster. You know, you have a couple of guys who are injured. But one thing that differentiates him from some of his counterparts is how creative and innovative he is with using different types of players. And you can, I think, Bryce, he can throw me in and he'll.
I thought Amani Brooks at one point was you.
Yeah.
But you were sitting beside me at the bar.
So. Yeah, I mean, you can throw me in and he'll find some useful way of making use of my limited abilities. Right? Like, that's just, you know, he drinks, sleeps, eats this stuff. And so, I think, in fairness, I think he is a respected name. Now, as it relates to the game specifically, especially the Phoenix Suns game, he didn't show that double team consistently on Devin Booker until the fourth.
Right.
And I thought Devin Booker would have adjusted, but he didn't. He actually turned the ball over several times when that was shown to him. And so, again, that's just a timbit, a modicum of what Nick Nurse is able to do and throw at different types of star players without being predictable, also without, you know, kind of gifting the world of your playbook in the regular season, knowing that the playoffs are ensuing. So it's exciting just to see, you know, these types of wins play out, because you have to win differently when you're playing Milwaukee Bucks. You have to win differently when you're playing the Miami Heat. Or you have to win differently when you're playing the Phoenix Suns. So all that to say is bring it on. I think, Bryce, we can compete with anyone in the league, man.
I agree.
Both in the regular season and the playoffs. So I think teams should be intimidated by us, really, rather than us having to kind of cower ourselves in light of, you know, in the post-Kyle Lowry era, which is what a lot of the American media likes to say.
Your coach of the year, or at least the two guys that you have competing for coach of the year in the NBA this year, is Monte Williams one of them? And if so, is there anybody else who's competing with him?
Yeah, that's a good coach. A good question. Sorry. Bickerstaff out in Cleveland has name has come up several times throughout the season. You know, in light of what his team has had to undergo due to lack of injury and being a surprise team, right? Like literally, post LeBron James era has been dark.
Yeah.
For the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Monty Williams has really been able to maintain a level of excellence for his team, for Phoenix, especially without Chris Paul. So I think it's due that he gets the award, the acknowledgement, the praise that's associated with it. So,
For me, we've talked about this off air. I think I've talked a little bit about this on air. Very little, but a little bit. Bickerstaff for me is not in the top two because he's a trust fund kid in the NBA with his dad working at the head office, then his dad having an executive position with the Cavs, and him getting the job where his dad was. Not a big fan of that. So that's me taking shots at Bickerstaff specifically, although I agree that Cleveland's played well above expectations, and I'm sure his coaching has partly to do with it. I just don't like it, the narrative. The guy who I think is kind of second in the running behind Monte Williams, no, not Billy Donovan, Chicago, the Memphis Grizzlies coach. Yeah, did we think he was going to be a top 10?
They're number 2 in the league.
Yeah, right, incredible. After Phoenix, incredible. I never thought they'd even be a top 10 team in the NBA. Here they are battling in the top 3 in the NBA. I forget that coach's name, but I think Monty Williams and him are the front runners, in my opinion. I'm sure Adam Silver in the NBA and probably Kiki Vandeweghe somewhere in Cancun is thinking the same thing. Why are these small markets getting noise? But that's besides the point.
Scotty Barnes, these last two games.
Yeah. Let's talk about Scotty Barnes. Since we're going to talk about Cleveland, let's mention the top two rookie candidates. After a game like tonight in Denver, after this stretch of maybe 15 games that Scotty Barnes has put in, minus the Rising Stars game in the skills competition, Scotty Barnes is Rookie of the Year for me. He is doing things that no other rookie is doing. I don't care what his matchups are against Cleveland specifically. We'll see what happens in a couple weeks when we face them again. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen is not in that game, and Evan Mobley has to compete against Scotty Barnes a little more, and Pascal Siakam. But for me, the whole package, Scotty Barnes can do literally everything on the court. I cannot say the same thing for Evan Mobley. Is Evan Mobley a hell of a talent? Yes. Is he a reincarnation or a version of Tim Duncan? Yes. But for me, is he at this stage, looking at the entirety of the basketball game, baseline to baseline, start to finish, Scotty Barnes is my Rookie of the Year. And I think tonight's game and last night's game, when he can be so elite in each on each side of the ball, with the ball, without the ball, on the offensive glass, making plays, it's incredible.
Thoughts for you? Scotty, for me, it's about celebrating the small victories, not just offensive outputs and kind of learning the defensive assignments, but it's the maturity, Bryce. It's you're not gonna play a rookie in the fourth when his teammates, those who have many more years on him, are on the bench, right? So that means that he's gained the confidence of the coach, of his teammates. This guy, the best is yet to come, really. And he showed me that he was able to match up some of the incredible, talented Phoenix Suns wings that they had. And the next day, he did the same against the Denver Nuggets, right? And one thing that we caught on with his inconsistencies and his, you know, banging his head on the rookie wall was, you know, it's fatigue. This league is fatiguing, right? It is long. It's exhausting. And I think he's over that. And I think he's learning how to now incorporate himself playing at a high level consistently in preparation for the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, you can't take a quarter off, right? You got to be on for a longer period of time. So, yeah, man. I mean, this season has been weird and confusing and frustrating in so many ways, but a beautiful run for our guys to continue to learn and to continue to expand themselves in reaching their potential.
We have talked about these two games. We've talked about these two awards, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year awards, and now we can take kind of a bigger look at the Toronto Raptors season. I believe there's 15 games left. We're 37-30 after beating Denver by 12, Phoenix by 5 on the road, back-to-back, as we've mentioned. Now we go to LA to play the Clippers, then the Lakers, and then we play the Lakers again in Toronto. Likely after that game, we'll get OG and Anobi back. Got these three games against Los Angeles teams again, two in LA, one in Toronto. And then we've got a number of home games. Yeah. I think we play seven out of the next 11 games at home, which is fantastic. Whoever we play, as you said, we are going to be a handful. Whoever we play is going to have to deal with our length and athleticism and Nick Nurse and all his schemes and imagination. But I want to ask you a different type of question. Is this team the reincarnation of the 2013 Memphis Grizzlies? Is this team maybe not even the 2013 Grizzlies? Is this team maybe the reincarnation of the 2012 OKC Thunder that went all the way to the finals? My daughter, I've made a deal with her that if the Toronto Raptors go to the finals, she gets Mario Kart 8 for the Switch.
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah, she is very confident that Scottie Barnes, Gary Trent Jr., with it, the Trent truck full of his jump shots, she is very confident that we are going to the finals. So I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying, is this team that good? Right. Is this team going to intimidate some folks?
So you talked about the grit and grind.
Yeah.
Memphis Grizzlies. And then you mentioned the KD, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka led OKC.
Serge Ibaka led. Wow.
Well, he was part of that. He was part of that group.
But he's not Kevin Garnett. I mean, he's not Kevin Durant.
I think they all played significant. That was that youth movement that gave Miami the best that they could. I felt that there were some calls that went against them in that series. Nevertheless, I think we're not them. We're not the grit and grind, but I think we're. Definitely, we are. I think we're grit and grind because I think we can disappoint a team like the San Antonio Spurs and give the Golden State Warriors all that they can. I and But that means that all our guys are healthy, and we are, and the rotation is at like 8, Bryce. We're talking Thad Young, we're talking Precious, we're talking Boucher off the bench, right?
No Malachi.
No Malachi.
Wow.
No Delano. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're playing Pascal and Scotty at the point. I really believe, and you know, Fred is playing 40 minutes.
Damn.
We're gonna have to be honest. And so I actually think that's our potential. And you know, the 3-year plan is to continue to grow,
yeah,
develop.
2024.
And allow this team to reach its potential with all the contractual limitations. And I think we can squeeze into that 6th spot. I think we can beat out Cleveland. And I think we can even catch up to the Boston Celtics, who are at 5. I don't know how they're going to end their the rest of the season, especially with the loss of Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic, especially with these back-to-back wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time last week, Bryce, we were like just scratching our heads. We were in the fog with the back-to-back losses to the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic. Now we're on the other side,
yeah,
right? And so, but this is the team that we know that they can be, right?
Definitely, and, definitely.
Whereas last week is like more of a, we deviated from the path, you know, from living out our potential.
That's right.
Anyway.
So, like I said before, we have the Lakers, the Clippers in LA. Then we come back to Toronto to face LeBron and the other guys. And then we have a pretty crazy week of games. We play the Philadelphia 76ers. We play the Boston Celtics, the Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Any predictions about those 7 games?
Yeah.
No back-to-backs, I'll just say, on any of those games.
Yeah, the LA game, I think we can win that. You can dial that up. I think we match well against Chicago, against Cleveland. And I'm curious how we respond against the Sixers, especially Joel Embiid, who's going to give a final push for, you know, MVP, and I'm curious how we match up against how we respond to, or how Nick Nurse orchestrates against a James Harden on the 76ers, right? Like, it's a very different type of team now. So, but these are all kind of Eastern Conference, competitors. I don't want to say that we sweep, but after this confidence boost, why not, man?
Wow.
I'm calling it out, man. We sweeping that. We'll sweep them just like we sweep the convoy truckers, man.
Wow.
Let's go.
Damn.
We ain't playing.
Wow.
We ain't playing.
We're going to win the next 7?
Showing up in people's cars like it's like we're in an Uber.
Damn.
I think we can, Bryce. I think we can pull it off. I think if it's no back-to-backs and Fred is playing throughout that stretch, and OG should be coming back. Come on, man.
OG is likely to come. Likely OG is coming back for the Lakers game in Toronto. I'm going to say we're going to go 4-3 in the next 7 games, personally.
Who do we lose to?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I can't, because after the Orlando-Detroit debacle, and then coming back in these last 2 games and winning, I really don't know what team, which Slim Shady's going to stand up. But I do think that we'll compete. I do think that we'll pick up and pick off some of these playoff teams. I would love to see us beat Cleveland, Boston, and the Lakers twice. I'm okay losing to the Clippers since we've already beat them. That's just me, 4-3. Now, if we were to go even 5-2 in the next seven, we get to 42 and 32. That's very good. We put ourselves in a very good position to catch up to the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially if we beat them. But again, lots of work to be done. Lots of work in LA to do. And I'm not talking about what we're going to do on Venice Beach. I'm not talking about what we're doing on Hollywood Hills or Beverly Hills. I'm talking about what we're going to do in the Staples Center, having to deal with Steve Ballmer and all the drama that comes in with LeBron and the Lakers. Who knows what Magic Johnson will tweet out after that game. But I'm excited for what is possible. I'm excited about this team's potential, but there's so much unpredictability about this team.
Let's go. Let's go. We have a month out until the playoffs.
Yep.
We ready.
Yeah.
We back.
You know how we do. When we bring it from start to finish, 48 minutes of hell, we are a tough team. We are a team to reckon with, and we could find ourselves very easily in the sixth seed after these seven games until the next game against an LA club, I believe the Clippers. We'll catch up to you later.
Peace.
Thanks, y'all.